There's a staircase in my work. And I decided I should climb the 20 almost floors today and record it. I've never gone this many in this building before. Slowing down. Anyway, we gotta play the theme music.
Hello and welcome to That Happens, the only podcast that does whatever the hell this is. I'm your host, Spencer Crittenden.
And I'm Kevbot. Kevin couldn't make it today on account of his many mysterious misadventures, but I'll be more than capable for today's task. Spencer, what's today's task?
Well, it's funny you should ask, Kevbot. Today's task is an interesting one. I don't know how to explain it, so I won't. Maybe someone else will. Goodbye.
Been trying to come up with ideas since we can't, like, record a podcast normally, but I still want to record stuff. I had the thought that I could just record little bits of stuff. Normally, I live my life, and if I have a thought that feels podcasty, and I think to write it down, then I do write it down, and I talk about it on the podcast. But hypothetically, you could just talk about it when you have the idea and put it into a podcast later instead. And that's kind of what I'm doing here. In fact, I had this idea before, but I never really thought about putting it into a recording until now. And I could have written it down and been like, oh, you should record an intro. And I probably will record an intro. But right now, I thought you should just talk about this idea. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I'm driving into work. I've been feeling weird lately. I mean, I've been going through a lot. It's normal to feel weird. But what I've been doing is convincing myself that I'm feeling weird for specific other reasons that aren't the giant reason that it obviously is. And so that's been happening. And so one of the things that I've been focusing on lately is I feel like it's hard to... I feel like it's hard to complain, which is a great thing to say on a podcast that only exists because I complain. But that's what I mean. I feel like I would talk a lot of shit on Harmontown and I would talk a lot of shit online forever. And eventually I slowly started realizing like, oh, I'm like a famous internet guy. You can't just talk shit. Like it'll hurt people's feelings in a way it didn't used to. I mean, that always did hurt feelings. Don't get me wrong. Like even if you're faceless and just saying things into the void, it still can hurt feelings. But the bigger you go, the more capacity you have to hurt. But, you know, and so I just feel like lately, I feel like it's hard to complain about a lot of the stuff that I want to complain about and would have in the past easily complained about. And now I feel like I can't. Although, of course, I still do. And all I do is complain. And if anything, it's good to not complain. And I just read an article that said it's good for you to avoid things that annoy you and agitate you because that agitation is like toxic and it builds upon itself. So it's like you're creating footholds for it to control you more in the future by engaging in it at all. But hey, all I do is complain. And isn't that going to be good for the rest of my life? No, but that's what I mean when I say I have an attitude problem is that I am harming myself by the way I think. It's making things worse. It's not that things aren't bad and that I'm making good things bad or that I'm making neutral things bad. It's that things are so bad and I'm making it worse in a way I don't have to. I wonder if any of this sounds good and not like, oh God. It ended up sounding fine, despite the fact that air conditioners were blowing directly into what I assume are the microphones. So the noise suppression on Apple devices seems to be pretty cool. This sounds weird because I'm talking into my car microphone, my hands-free stuff now, instead of my phone microphone. What an interesting experiment this is. Once again, we're baking new ground. Once, yet again, we've baked new ground. We've baked new ground. Yet again, gran. What a great podcast. It's good because I'm good at doing it. Because of ideas like this that are smart and not bad ideas and not poorly thought out.
I'm hiking. It's Tuesday. Woke up at like 5 a.m. crying. Pretty bad. First time in a little bit. About my cat. It just like, I basically wake up every morning somewhere between 4 and 5:30. And I go to the bathroom. I always have to go to the bathroom. Sometimes I try not to go to the bathroom, but then I can't get back to sleep until I go to the bathroom. And I never get back to sleep anyway. I think it has something to do with pot. When I stopped smoking weed, this stopped happening. It's happening again. But, you know, when I would go to the bathroom, I would try not to wake up Jason. Because she would be cozy and comfy, and I just felt like I was getting in her way and making her uncomfortable, because she was so skittish that, you know, if you'd move a little bit, like if she was on your lap and you moved a little bit, she'd jump off, and so it was always like, I don't want to startle her. So yeah, you'd either get you'd either avoid waking her up to keep her cozy, or you wouldn't, and she'd usually go into the bathroom with you. Then you get back in bed, and she'd almost always jump back up on the bed. And our air conditioning was always on, so cold. And I always felt guilty. I thought she was maybe always really cold. But at night, I was always cold too. And she would warm up. Man, it would feel like we were the only things that were warm. And everything else was just freezing cold.
Slow day at the office. Thinking about maybe getting some wings for lunch. I don't know.
You know, it's weird. Something I've been noticing, I've been doing a little bit of jogging and I lost weight, and it's crazy the way my stomach doesn't move when I run. Is like, I haven't felt like that since I was a kid. It's like a very strange new experience that the past couple of days I'm like, holy shit, this feels so different.
I just realized we could probably like do a couple clips. You know, like, you wouldn't want this to be like a whole clip show. Like, now that's what I call happens, you know, like clips from previous episodes. That would suck if that was this whole thing. But this whole thing is already such this, you know, scrapbook or whatever. What if there was just, like, a couple? That's so stupid. It seems like such a bad idea now that I'm saying it. I don't know. We'll figure it out. The thing is, something you might not understand, listeners, and something that might not go in the cut, is that I'm recording pieces with the intention of having no idea of what I'm doing. And eventually, at some point, coming back with these pieces and putting them together and coming up with new ideas and recording those, or completely changing the idea and having to scrap lots of it, all of it, pieces of it, and rework parts of it. So, you know, when I'm recording this that you are or are not hearing, know that that's part of why I'm doing it, both as notes for me and as, you know, part of this scattered, fragmented shotgun process.
Let's see, this is not a sea shanty.
There once was an Indian maid who said...
Like in that Betty Davis one.
That's on you, buddy. You almost killed a child.
No, no, him. He sped away because he was scared of my mean mugging.
You so provoked him.
All I did was pull over to mean mug. I wasn't like, I'm going to mean mug so he kills a kid. Like, I'm not that fucking, like, you know, I'm not crazy.
What mean mug is this?
Yeah. They're making fun of my choice of words over here.
Put it in the microwave. It's a mug cake.
It's like you're having the three of us on, Spencer, because you got
like, it is like that.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. He shouldn't be doing this in the same room as us.
I asked first.
I killed you ages ago.
You're not even playing?
She killed me. This deck sucks, dude. I always get all right.
Do you have any final thoughts?
Oh, man. This one's going to be rough. So I'm walking up to Hancock Park. It is where Brad Tarpitt is. I would listen to Roman Mars, 99% Invisible. It's a good podcast. But recently he's done some episodes where he talks about just places. He's walking through places and describing them to his wife, I think. And I was like, man, I should do that. So yeah, I'm outside of this park and stepping over a pile of tar, and it's squishy under my feet. It's tar that's been papered over with dust that's overflowed onto the sidewalk, but they just cover it with dust until it congeals hard enough so it's not sticky. And there, it's just on the sidewalk, and I stepped on it. So there's like a golden saber-tooth tiger statue in front of a sign that says La Brea Tar Pits. And you got these green fences made of these diamond poles that go straight up. They're not linked. It's like a comb sticking into the air of green metal rods. It's weird, you know, you gotta see it. But then, you know, the first thing you see, on your right, you see the Tar Pits Museum. And then the bathrooms and a picnic area. The left, you see the, like the lake or the pond. It's a little Beatar pit. It's always bubbling. I'm looking, I'm seeing five separate spots where bubbles are bubbling up from the actual tar. Walking by a tour.
Just come all this way, maybe from Canada, to check out a place called the La Brea Asphalt Sleeps. Maybe not, right? Does anybody care about the snow about La Brea?
So, for some reason, there's a very garish statue depiction of a, what looks like an elephant or what is like an unwoolly mammoth, maybe, begging for help as it falls into the tar pits and seems like it will collapse. Now that I'm looking at it, this shit's moving. I didn't know this shit moved. It's like gently moving. And as it's dying among these tar pits, another mammoth is watching it. And a baby mammoth is also watching it. And the baby mammoth appears to be screaming. Very strange sight. And of course, this whole place is fenced off. Because there's like asphalt and petroleum or stuff. The whole place smells like gas. And they have to pump it out every so often. So now I'm approaching the actual museum. The George C. Page Museum La Brea Discoveries. And it kind of looks like a squarish hill. Very shallow hill that's a wide, flat, square shape. And the museum kind of goes underground into the hill. And then on top of the hill is kind of like a balcony terrace that they have like kind of shaded with this structure with a concrete relief. There's like ancient kind of, it's like an ancient pastoral picture of buffaloes and ancient animals, mammoths and stuff. And if you go up the hill onto this balcony, which you can kind of just walk up, they have staircases, but you can just go up the grass like I am. You can look down into this underground kind of part that's almost, you know, maybe a little bit like a volcano. You imagine a mound with a shallow cut out of it. And when you look down, there's a whole bunch of trees because it's like a little inner atrium where they have like a nice little nature area. You can sit around here in the shade by the trees, look down into it. Don't have to pay tickets. Just walk around the park. going around to the back where there's a parking lot, and there's like some sort of tar pit trailer back here. There's actually, what I'm looking at right now is what happens, like what I stepped on, is this is a park, but it's an active tar pit. And so that means even in the parking lot that I'm looking at, tar sometimes bubbles up and they have to deal with it. And so what I'm looking at looks like a dumpster enclosure, kind of. It's a low wall that's just completely enclosing a standing puddle of water and tar, because all they can do is contain it and pump it out. So they've just blocked it out so no one steps on it. The low wall has a chain link fence, and the whole situation has kind of like a, what do you call that? Like a ridged, like a ruffled metal kind of roof situation, just kind of enclosing the whole thing. The chain link fence has a locked gate if anyone needs to access it to pump it up, I guess. But like, again, it's a park. There's families, there's kids, there's dogs. There's people playing catch down there in the parking lot. And there's just tar bubbling up. Looking back at the La Brea tar pit, I'm seeing there's another mammoth statue that appears to be drowning or something. So there's just this nice kind of circular lawn. This whole block is like a big rectangle. And so I'm in the park half of it, not the Lackman half. Oh, and the ground, the path I'm walking on, I just saw a little spot of tar. Another one. There's little spots where the tar just kind of seeps through the cracks in the asphalt. So here's a, I would say a rather ugly statue of a bear. Now this just looks like a dirt, but this is another fenced off pit. It just kind of looks like a dirt lot, but there's these puddles of oil kind of in it. And that's that tar pit. This one's labeled pits 3, 4, and 61/67. Because a lot of these sites get fenced off because there's active archaeological digging going on and they need to notate it. Looking at statues of, I think these are ancient giant sloths, if you're familiar with that. And coming up on Project 23, which is a number of wooden crates full of fossils. Sometimes they have these tents. Actually, I can see people working. They have like air filters or vacuums or air compressors running. And they like excavate big chunks of stuff out of whatever they pull up out of these pits. I don't know what's going on. It looks cool. It's all fenced off, but sometimes the tours go by and comment on what's happening. Yeah, here's a big fence with two people hanging out at the dig site. Fossil crate 14. Coming across, there's actually two kind of mini little amphitheaters, the kind of place where students would eat lunch on a field trip to Lackma or the tar pits. I'm passing Lackma now. I'm kind of going across the north side of it to circle around. This area is an active construction site. You've probably heard that sound this whole time. Now I'm like crossing over onto like what's seriously the Lackma property. Yeah, there's this kind of exhibit that's, I want to say it's 12 or 13 busts or heads of animals. And it's they're kind of situated, circled outside a elevator that goes underground. They're all staring at the elevator. Kind of ominous or ritualistic. And the elevator, the elevator has like this red kind of girder overstructure. It's kind of this like artsy frame as opposed to like a proper, you know, container or box. And this glass and metal frame, it says Anthony and Jean Pritzker Family Foundation on the sacrificial elevator. This is like a shaded area. I'm gonna not talk. Now I'm walking by. This art is at Lackma. It's like a bunch of street lights. I think it's called like Urban Lights or Urban Temple or something like that. But it's a bunch of like Greek column styled old timey lampposts that have been put into a design that's reminiscent of a Greek temple, despite not having a roof or anything and just being street lights. They're not like arranged. They're not sculpted. They're just standing together in a way that evokes it. And it's pretty cool. And you've probably seen a ton of girls taking Tinder photos in inside of it and in front of it and stuff. It's a great, I don't know, it's really overhyped, but I really love it. It's I don't know, there is something really inspiring and evocative about it. And that's kind of the whole park. Eventually I'll go under this new structure that they're building that spans Wilshire. That's part of what they're building. It's kind of this overhang that covers the street. And then I'll circle back to the entrance of the park. I'll be walking along the pond with the traumatizing statuary of the mammoths. And so, you know, maybe that gives you a little tiny bit of a glimpse into this area. This is like a weird, bizarre thing. La Brea Tar Pits. Weird shit, man. Weird shit.
All right, we got Abed on the show again. How's it going?
Let's get ready to get frisky.
Yeah, thanks so much. So let's play this message from Jeff.
Hey there, Spencer. Hey, Jeff Davis from Teen Wolf. Just wanted to say happy birthday, and I'm okay with all the jokes. I didn't think we'd last 7 weeks.
Oh.
Well, to see you, Brandon Johnson.
This is an interesting format. I don't know. I don't know if it's good. Feels kind of masturbatory, huh? But I don't know. There's been a lot of not episodes lately. I mean, it's not the end of the world. But it's good to try, right? I mean, and imagine if this was good or is good. And it is, because I'm good. And I'm good at podcasting. Am I good at it? Oh, I'm so good. I'm at the corner of Santa Monica and Highland looking at a billboard that says 1.9 million lives in care by the AHF, which is an organization owned by a guy who's a known ballot crank in LA. He tries to sponsor ballot initiatives to do weird shit. He sponsored a porn bill that we talked about on Harmontown when we had Riley Reed on as a guest. It was like it had to do with condom laws and creating a porn czar. That guy owns the AHF. And when he's not ballot cranking, he's just having usually AIDS or STD related billboards. And he just owns the billboards and cycles them out. I'm also near Trio's Tacos, a public storage, and a large tall building. I don't know what it is. It looks, it's got to be at least 20 stories. In an area where, like, the next closest is, like, 5 stories and most are 2 max, you know? What is this place? It's by the D Pet Hotels, Hollywood, and by the Anawalt Lumber. It looks like it's 1025 Highland for all you sleuths out there. LA Dog Works, Wag Hotels. What the fuck? Is this the Pet District? Is that a thing? There's the Starbucks. I don't know. I think that was most of it. That was probably most of what I wanted.
So he's like, hey, Abed, doing an impression. I'm getting fucking worried, man, about all these fucking like people around Malibu that are like getting let out of jail. Do you want to come with me to go gun shopping? And I go, Dan, I don't want to be in a car with a gun. And he's like, what are you fucking talking about? I'm not gonna shoot you. And I'm like, I don't want to be around a gun. I can't even be in the same room with a gun.
See, the problem is
that I just want to make cool stuff. And I'm constantly seeing cool stuff and getting cool ideas of stuff I can make. But I gotta work. And I like doing the podcast and it's cool, but I can make so much stuff. And it's hard to know if the podcast is helping that or not. Or if it's blocking that, you know? I feel like inside of me there are two wolves. I feel like I have a very strong urge to flee, always. I just always want to run away from anything, in any circumstance, always. And I have another urge that I've started to discover in myself recently, that I have a tendency to stay in a bad situation for a long time without like realizing, oh, you should be more active. You shouldn't just be like letting this, most people wouldn't just be letting this, you know, happen. They'd be trying to fix things and see what they could do about it, you know? And so anytime I have any issue, it's like, well, which is real, which is anxiety, which is fake, which is the right idea to do, you know? And I like doing the podcast, and I want to kind of do a different podcast or do something different with the podcast or do something other than podcast or something, or not, or do it all. And maybe I can do it all. I don't know.
I really like hiking. I always have. Ever since I was a kid, we would, you know, wander outside the suburbs into like the wilderness and just find stuff. Sometimes you'd find holes that our kids dug or little encampments or stuff they left, you know, when they're out playing pretend or whatever. And we'd do that too. It was cool because, you know, you'd come out at different times and you could share like the same kind of hideout that a different kid built. But yeah, I don't know, just hitting like stuff with a stick, I've been hiking a lot, and I just see all these trucks, parks and recreation, water and power, sanitation, and man, I just want one of these jobs. Look, there's recreation and parks truck. I just want to work back here. I come out here every day. I just walk around. Can you imagine being able to work out here? You guys can't see this. Maybe someday. But just see all these trucks, and I'm just like, man, it'd be nice. Just work, you know, get your steps in or whatever. Work in the back, shoveling trash or shit or whatever. I don't know, it seems nice. It seems like it could be a hard job to get. I always go by the trucks and I'm like, I should ask them if they're hiring. I'm out here every day, I'm sure there'll be time.
All right, we got Abed on the show again. How's it going, Abed? Welcome back, it's good to see you.
Yeah, threw another wine cooler on the ice, baby, because I'm good to drink.
And I'm bad to smoke.
I don't smoke anymore, sorry.
And I drink now, also.
Oh, yeah. Before lunch, I was going to record a piece in the office. Maybe I can record one later and pretend it was before lunch.
All right, it's time for Drive Time with Spencer and Abed. What's up, Abed?
What's up, Spencer? Well, first of all, you should be listening to this while you're in the car. Because if you're listening and you're doing laundry, it makes no sense because we're not talking about laundry.
That's right. And we will wait. Get in your car. We know it takes a good 90 seconds. So we will wait here until you do.
Yeah, that's right. And okay, we're back. You're probably in your car right now. Or that was that 90 seconds?
It's not, but I think they're getting close, and pretty soon it'll be time for them to turn their keys in their ignition and start listening.
Yeah, well, should I do the voice you're doing?
Either way, but I think we got another 12 seconds left.
All right, that's some 12 seconds of good old juicy fruit, the gum that is juicy, and it's got fruit.
And my drive time story is I got hit by a bus, baby. Oh, yeah.
You did?
So, yeah, it was like around the time I went to do Tulare College in Portland. But, yeah, I don't know. Around that time, I was talking to the professor about, like, trying to lose weight and stuff a little bit. And he was talking about how he got the advice to drink water and eat, like, greens in the morning. And I started doing that. And so I just started just trying to see, like, oh, what are good little tips for things that aren't super unhealthy to eat? And that just kind of started getting better. And then I was like, maybe I should just get back into hiking. It's finally cold enough to hike. And it started snowballing. And I wanted to get an Apple Watch to try and track everything, because I was like, oh, well, I want to track my calories that I'm eating. But if I'm going to do that, it's like, well, I mean, might as well track what you're burning too, right? It's part of the equation. And Kevin got me an Apple Watch, and man, you got to fill the rings on this thing. I've been hiking like basically nonstop every day since. I literally don't think I've actually missed a day, although there have been one or two days where I exercised without my watch, and so it didn't count, and so I missed a day. And yeah, it's, I started doing this EMDR thing, and they said that walking was really helpful and that hiking was helpful. And so I started, while I was doing that, I was like integrating meditation a little bit into my hiking. And it was a real lifeline. I was going through some personal stuff. You know, it was like the one thing that was really helping me through all that. And then, you know, I started like trying to buckle in harder and really restrict calories and like figuring out, you know, stuff that was working. And yeah, I don't know. The thing is, what's crazy is I kept my streak going until the Thursday after my fucking cat died. And I'm racking my brains. The thing is, it was the day I was at work, and I would get up at work to go to the bathroom all the time. And I didn't get enough stand points for that day because it didn't detect me standing up. But I stood up. I stand up enough times every single day. And it doesn't always clock it, but that day, they broke my streak. It's my second day back to work after my cat died. It was, and I was just like, I just, like, hiking was the only thing I had going for me. It was like holding me together. I was like, hiking held together with loose tape at this point. And yeah, it just sucks. I mean, the exercise and movement streak are still unbroken. It's just the stand streak, which isn't even as impressive as burning 500 calories every day. But it just sucks. It sucks because it marks the tragedy. And it feels like it wasn't my fault, even though probably it was. And isn't that saying something? Isn't he dead? Isn't he Jefferson, friend of Drew Carey and pal of Dan Harmon? I've never thought we'd ever be casting pods so consistently, but isn't he funny, Jeffrey?
All right, we got Abed on the show today. What's up, Abed?
Howdy do! When I was young, my dad got me tickets and me and my cousin to see the Oakland A's in the 80s, or sorry, 90s. And it's when they had Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco, Ricky Henderson, Dave Stewart, the best team that the A's have ever had. And we were right behind the fucking dugout. I used to be into baseball, not anymore. And anyway, during the national anthem, you're supposed to be quiet or you're supposed to sing whatever the bullshit is. And me and my cousin, we have a problem when we were little where we couldn't fucking not laugh. It's like anytime people told us to behave or be quiet, we would giggle. Because like I would just look at him and he would look at me and we would crack up. And we just, it was like a fucking sickness with us. But anyway, we're giggling like mad. And Ricky Henderson, the scariest fucking guy in the fucking sports world, he turns around and he stares us down with like dagger eyes. That's like, you motherfucking little shits. And I was like terrified of Ricky Henderson. Like, oh my God, Ricky Henderson looks like he's going to murder us. And the funny thing is, as I'm telling the story to Erin Pierce, she's like, oh, is that the guy I listened to a podcast about that he always talks to about himself in the third person? And I'm like, yeah, that's what he does. That's Ricky Henderson. So the fact that she actually knew who I was talking about is super like funny. Cause like when I tell stories, she doesn't know names.
So yeah. That's a crazy coincidence. That's crazy.
Yeah. Cause she just listened to that podcast about his life and was saying how it's called Dollop, I think. But she was saying how fucking nuts that guy was. And I'm like,
you're like the Forrest Gump of Hollywood.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right, what up? So, yeah, Kevin's not here today. We got Abed, though. Abed's in the house. What's up, Abed?
I guess at this point it's safe to reveal that I knew when I was recording the clip talking about doing old clips that I wanted to just make up fake clips. That's inside the process, baby. Speaking of which, I still have not gotten to work. Man. You know, we contain multitudes, right?
All right. Hey, guys, it's me, Editor Spencer. I'm the Spencer that's editing this and realized I needed to record this or that. And now, without further ado, it's time for Abed's Corner.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Abed's Corner. I hope Kevin and Spencer, you're having a great show. I'm sure you are.
It's Abed's Corner.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Now I'm happy. I don't know how I'm going to be mad. Lately, I'm getting very disappointed in people and friends. And I'm not going to say what friends, but I'm just going to say, like, I just think people are flaky. And it might be just an LA thing, but I just find that no one's as motivated as me. No one is, like, as determined to make changes in life like I am. And that's frustrating when you're trying to work on a project or you're trying to advance in life, because I am trying to advance and I'm getting old. I only got about 5 good years. Was that you laughing at the sound?
No, 5 good years is funny.
Oh, I thought you laughed at the horn.
No, no.
See, I only have about 5 good years and that's it. I'm dead. Like, I'm gonna die in 5 years. So it's like, basically that's it. So I gotta make every freaking day has to be, I'm doing something and getting better and moving forward, but I can't get anyone. And I don't think there is anyone who is as motivated as me or as serious. It's like everyone's distracted by social media, or they're, you know, they're hung up on some drama, or like they've got their own life to live and they're doing their bullshit. It's like, I'm not saying everyone should be super invested in me, but I'm saying, like, don't get me started and not expect, you know, at least if you get me started, follow through on your end. Or just leave me the fuck alone, you know, or like find some other schmuck, because I don't have time for bullshit. Yeah. But I guess that's about it. Right?
Find some other schmuck. Yeah, exactly.
And I know, Spencer, you agree with me.
Oh, no, yeah. I know. We were talking about this and man, I feel the same way. It's just like, Jesus Christ, other schmuck.
Well, what do you do? I mean, I found someone in Australia who feels the same way I do, but she's in Australia. Like, what am I supposed to do, move there?
I don't know. So that's number one. What's number two?
Oh, I didn't know I'd do a bunch.
quick, come up with as fast as you can. A second thing.
Oh, I don't like that people don't watch Farscape. That pisses me off.
Okay,
it's like, come on already. That's a great show.
But and, what about Guardians of the Galaxy?
It's all right, but it's not as good as Farscape. I mean, let's be honest. It's not. It's because the fucking guy, what's his name? Pratt?
Mm-hmm.
He sucks. The guy from Farscape's way better.
Right.
And he's in Australia. So, like, obviously, this whole thing is about me in Australia. Like, I want to fucking live there. I've had it with LA and LA people and the weather. I mean, is it hot? Is it cold? What is it? It's not even, give me just one thing. You know, one day it's cold, next day it's hot. Like, for fuck's sake. I moved here because there was consistency.
It's not consistent.
No.
Is that vegan?
Yeah. Okay. So,
flaky people.
Flaky people.
People not liking
Farscape.
Well, no, people not liking Farscape.
And
or not watching Farscape. Right. And then three is
Australia.
No, I love Australia. Nice. I think it's the weather.
Okay. Yeah. The weather. Okay. Yeah.
The weather here. All right. It's the problem.
All right, that's Abed's Corner Cottage.
Well, thank you for Abed's Corner Cottage. There's a corner cottage down the street. I'm going to go get a breakfast burrito.
I didn't think we'd last 7 weeks. I didn't think we'd last 7 weeks.
Oh, Jeff's getting emotional.
I didn't think we'd last 7 weeks. I didn't think
okay,
we'd last
Jeff.
7 weeks. I didn't think we'd last 7 weeks. I didn't think
okay,
we'd last
Jeff.
7 weeks.
No, it's fine.
Hey, it's you!
But you know what doesn't sneeze is soda. That's right, folks. It's time to taste a beverage or whatever. And sometimes we play a song, but probably I'm not going to play it. I've been talking how I've been interested in the prime beverage, but I don't remember ever drinking it on the podcast. And so I'm heading home from work, and I have a prime. And I thought I could try it and hopefully not get in a car accident. So the prime I have is popsicle flavored. It's America colored. It's like these red, white, and blue stripes. Much like our own great French flag. Boom! I'm French, bitch! This is about France now. It's labeled Ice Pop. This flavor is never, it's always out. They're like everywhere I go, they're always like the most out of this one. I don't know. Cool thing about this stuff is it's not, well, there's a lot of cool things about it, but they don't put additive food dye or anything. Like it's just all kind of like a off-white, you know, like a Gatorade, like Arctic kind of color. I feel like I'm talking like a fucking idiot. Anyway, let's just try it. So my immediate reaction is fruit, sweetness, tang. This is made with coconut water, and I think there's a tanginess that I think is really coconut watery. It's probably coconut water, although there's other tanginess. But it tastes kind of like a Squeeze-It from my childhood, or like, what did they call those little like juice barrels? They're like these little barrels with the kind of peel off kind of metallic sticker kind of top. They taste like that, which is to say vague flavored, but you're not clear what flavor it's supposed to be. Sweet, you know, vague sweet. There's sucralose in this. There's some sugar. They're 20 calories, but they're real, real sweet. I would describe the flavor, well, I think they're sweet. I've been doing diet for a while, so who knows. I would describe the flavor as cherry, orange, grape. It's mostly cherry, but there's definitely some citrus undertones. And there's also, sorry, a really attractive person just walked. And there's also, like, I'd say an acidity, a tanginess that's not just orange citrus. That's like more of a grape kind of character. But definitely mostly cherry with a little bit of, kind of like those kind of bomb pops, I think they were. The big pops, the big ones. You know, those big, like, yellow, red tie-dye ones? Kind of tastes like that. Real good. They're very expensive, but they're on sale at 7-Eleven. So now they're as expensive as everything else for less, instead of more expensive than everything else for less. I don't know, man. It's like, it doesn't taste like Gatorade. It tastes like fake kid, not juice, soda substitute. That's what it tastes like. But it functionally is telling me on the label, and I haven't looked it up, that it's Gatorade. So that's crazy to me. I don't know. Right? Should we read emails?
All right, let's do some emails. Dalton writes, "Hey, Spencer and Kevin, I'm getting married in a few weeks, April 5th. Oh, congratulations. Dang, I wish I had gotten in there earlier. Sorry, man. And it would mean a lot to me if you could say a few words to bless this union. My fiance's name is Rosalind. If that's too weird, I get it. Just thought it would be cool. Thanks, Dalton." Well, what about you, Kevin? You have anything to bless?
Hey guys, Editor Spencer again, day two of editing. I realize I should mention that while I was recording this that you're listening to, this email bit, I was at work recording it. Also, I'm doing this without Kevin, so instead of Kevin blessing the wedding, let's talk to KevBot. Unless, of course, Kevin can record something and cut it in this place. Otherwise, KevBot.
As an artificial life form, I have no soul, and I think we could all agree that it would be rather uncouth for me to comment on your wedding.
I'm just recording this before getting Kevin's input. So I will say, man, I'm jealous. I don't know. I hope it's great and is cool. I trust that you guys can do it, but just because you can doesn't mean, you know, it's going to be easy. But maybe it will be easy. What the fuck am I talking about? Why are you asking me? I'm like the loneliest person on the planet. Someone you admire would give anything to trade places with someone like you who has a fiance. And so no matter what, you can always count on that. Oh boy, this podcast is good and I'm good at doing it. Let's see. Okay, Suba Wadwani writes, "Hey Jeff, love the podcast. Reaching out because I've been working with 10 top podcasts like Acquired and Darknet Diaries to help them gain over 2.3 million views on YouTube Shorts this week alone. And guess what? Darknet Diaries doesn't record any video content. We create an entire universe of artwork and animations that make you stand out." Instagram link to like a, you know, portfolio, quick video explaining what we can do for you. Let me know if this piques your interest. Regards, Suba. Oh, and he goes on to write, "Hello, Jeff. I think we'd fit right into your podcast ecosystem. Here are some of our clients and what we've done for them. Acquired Podcast, 4 million views." Here's some links to just stuff that's... it's just stuff. Usually you'd have like a link to... Whatever, who cares? "We should set up a time to chat. Worst case, you get a solid content strategy based on our experience creating thousands of shorts and getting hundreds of millions of views. Thanks, Suba." That's not a bad idea. I mean, I wonder if we could record it without their consent and podcast it. That could be fun, right? "Hey, Jeff, here's an example of the growth we brought in for some of our clients at the top of the funnel for their podcast." At the top of the funnel? At the top of the funnel. And it's just screenshots of analytics. "And here's a 3-minute video on how we can do the same for you. Regards, Suba." Man, imagine if this guy knew what my name was. I'd be in his fucking, the palm of his hand right now. Eating at the palm of his hand. Ugh. I don't know, man. I'm imagining an audience member's attention span waiting right now. Zach writes... all right, Zach writes a long email. I'm going to summarize it. "Longtime listener, first time caller. Recently took a break from listening. I've been catching up. I've been in a depressive spiral. I've been in bed for days at a time." Hey, man, I kind of know what you mean. "I got a medical leave for work, and they forgot to stop paying me. I got some help and some meds. I'm back to work. And then your podcast keeps me sane." Well, I'm glad it helps. "Anyway, I'm halfway through the Jason episode. Kudos to you for showing your pain. It's not easy, and I respect it. Kevin, you're a good friend. You'd be a good therapist because you do it for free with Spencer once a week. So sorry if you end up reading this when the feelings aren't as strong, but I was inspired." All right, I'm just going to read this. I'm not going to pre-read it. Humans as pet owners are cursed with the simple fact that we will always outlive our pets, barring some specific cases, usually tragic. They can be one of the greatest providers of comfort and companionship we will ever know, and the cost we pay for that relationship is we're destined to lose it. And when it happens, there's a deep aching reminder of the impermanence of all aspects of our life. Everything we hold dear won't last forever. But for Jason, you are God, not a hateful or vengeful or jealous God, a loving, understanding, and forgiving God. That most optimistic interpretations of religions describe, and you are fallible, tortured by shame. Just like any human believer with doubts, Jason probably denounced you every once in a while, but it didn't stop you from coming back and loving and care for him. This guy later writes that he misgendered Jason. So, unlike us humans, cursed by our own consciousness to forever question doubt, Jason's forever came with one particular comfort: God loves me and was with me, has been there forever, and will always be there. Jason died a believer. May she rest in peace. Yeah, but thanks. I appreciate that. All right, let's go to a different Spencer. To stop crying.
Time to say goodbye to Starburns. It's been a ride. Veduto e vissuto con te. Adesso si li vivo con te. Podcasto. Soon avi per mari che io lo so. No, non esistono più. Con te io li rivivrò, con te. Podcasto. Tsunami per mai che io lo so.